company page.
Too bad you can't cure, bitch!
You can sell this for $1 million, because I'm gonna be famous!
So when in doubt, you kiss Crank?
Most girls on the planet look like this. Did you flip a switch and erase me from your memory?
You just walked out on a date with one of the fastest, coolest girls for your mom's fastest off.
You gave me a social disease.
Taste the lines up.
Hello, fellow DeGrassels, and welcome to Last Shift at the Dot. Today we have a special treat for you. We will be doing the worst Toby episode ever made. Normally, we try to talk through Degrassi, the Next Generation, from beginning to end, but today we're just going to try to get through this. There's really nothing of any value pertaining to the characters, the actors, or the drama today, but hopefully you still get what you came for. So who here is ready to do whatever it takes?
Morgan.
I am completely ready. I have my big ass truly can. I am beyond ready for this moment. I can make it through. I'm going to get us all through on my back. I will carry you all this time.
In your hot apartment, you are together. Yes. So we're all going to become pizzas with you.
Exactly. I have 3 fucking fans on me right now.
Let's just make sure that we're better pizzas than the ones that took Emma to that hotel room.
Yeah, it's all from the same place.
I don't want to be Sheila Sauce.
Oh. Actually, I kind of wanted to try Sheila Sauce. Like, the presentation versus the description was completely,
It kind of looked like Sloppy Joe's. Yeah, like a Sloppy Joe chili. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It looked like cat throw up.
It didn't.
Maybe it was like, you know, like when you cook something greasy and, like, it gets kind of cold and, like, the fat just kind of, like, the butter. Like, maybe that was that's what got him. That's why he yacked.
Oh, no. God.
Even better. I mean, what you just described is still better than Sheila Sauce.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what you just described is better than this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are in luck because Morgan still enjoys this episode more than all of us.
I do. I fucking enjoy it. It's just too good.
As is usual for us, we do cast intros, and we're going to put a little bit of a spin on the question of the week. It was really hard to find one for this episode, but I was thinking, I would say most of us were, we were cooler than Toby in high school, but most of us veered towards the nerdy, sort of geeky kind of thing, whether it was theater or computers or whatever Nina did.
Model UN.
Yeah, sure, Model UN, which is actually a plot. Ooh, we should have you host that.
You did modeling?
No, Model
UN. UN.
Oh, Model UN. Yeah. I was like, no. What?
I am not the Terry.
So I thought, given that Toby goes through this whole wrestling route to try to make himself like a jock and cool, what sport could or did you guys do in high school that you could have conceivably used to elevate yourself to the status of jock? Because for me, like, it's not basketball, it's not football. So that is my question. What sport did you or could you have done to elevate yourself to a jock like Toby wanted to do?
Does rhythmic gymnastics count as a sport?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we allow it. So you are Stefan.
I am Stefan, and God, I could have done like Lizzie McGuire and twirled my rhythmic gymnastics ribbon and just done, but no, I couldn't have. Funny enough, like before people realized that I was lame, a lot of people kept trying to say you should play football because, you know, I'm fat. It's like, yeah, you look like you got a linebacker's build. And I'm like, no, this is not a linebacker's build. This is a Doritos build.
You know what? You should have been like, most guys in the world look like this.
It's like me.
I don't know much about football, but I do know that there's one position called the tight end. And I think that's so funny.
The tight end.
I still play that one in my adulthood.
Hey.
Good gay sports bar name.
Yeah, I didn't. Like Pound Town.
Club Tush.
Or Rawhide.
Rawhide is a good one.
Damn, that's a good one. I'm kind of torn, but I think I'm going to stick with an answer. So my name is Natasha, and I really wanted to say basketball because that's all we ever played in high school. And also, ball is life. But before high school, I did play softball, not for school, just like for the town. And I thought I was pretty good, and I would have continued it if they had, like, they offered it in my high school. But once I I don't know, aged out of the recreational one for the town, there weren't any leagues to join. But I used to be a pitcher, and one year when I was like 8 or 9, I got MVP. And I got some ice cream.
So you're Sean Cameron.
Yes, yeah, so Natasha's actually the Sean Cameron.
Did you get a windbreaker? Or, you know,
I got ice cream.
Yeah. Dox windbreaker, so.
I'm Nina. I also played softball. I was not good at it. I'm trying to think of like what sport I could do that deals with the least amount of people because I hate like team work. And then I also hate the spotlight. So I don't know what would count. I'm thinking like, I don't know, like maybe track and field, like so I could just run away from everyone. So I would do track and field. I don't know if that like gets you any status though in a normal school.
It did in Greece when he played track to get Sandy's attention.
Okay. So,
but as a side note, Nina was good at softball. She was on the traveling team. So only good players would be on the traveling team. So.
And you were an MVP though? That's weird.
I was not MVP.
She was an MVP, but she did like outfield and because she had like a crazy arm. So like whenever they would hit it in the field, like her tiny self would just throw this ball like 100 yards or whatever those terms are. So don't sell short, Nina.
Well, whatever athleticism I had, like by 15 years old, it was like gone. So, and now I can barely like shoot a layup or something in our basketball. Mm-hmm.
As everyone here can attest.
we sucked.
Hi, I'm Morgan. I would say, so I was a band kid, you know, in addition to being a theater kid. And, you know, marching band is like, you know, it was like serious shit. And then I was like, you know what? This is cool, but I want to be in color guard. So I was in color guard and winter guard. So that was my cool team. We're going to do this thing. And we had competitions and everything. And so still nerdy, but not better than the band kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to have that hierarchy.
Like, yeah. I'm a dancer. Yeah.
So I'm learning that the girls are quite athletic.
More.
Yeah.
Well,
and band? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Band and color guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm Perino, and I am similar to Nina and Natasha that I could play soccer when the playing field was level, if you will. I think I would do something similar to Toby and try to find a niche sport, like if there was a traveling ping pong team, because you could maybe give yourself jock status with that, because that's what Toby did. He wrestled the weakest kid there was. But I do remember being asked to try out for wrestling and recognizing that would never work.
Dang. But that would be your sport, like wrestling or ping pong?
Ping pong.
I wish my school had a wrestling team. I think wrestling could have been.
I feel like
a good way to get anger out, too.
Yeah.
Slamming people.
Yeah.
Just push someone.
Damn. Yeah.
Watch out for those erections.
I mean, there's many ways to wrestle, right?
Sometimes you just want to get naked, cover yourself in baby oil, and wrestle some men.
Yeah, maybe that's what you should have done.
Yeah.
That would have been a perfectly acceptable answer. It's right up there with ribbon gymnastics. They're all valid.
Gymnastics or wrestling?
Everything.
So there's this anime all about this guy who builds it takes place in ancient Rome, and he makes Roman baths. And I feel like season two is going to include a lot of Greco-Roman wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dicks. I know what you mean.
Well, before we delve into the episode, I feel compelled to offer a little bit of a trigger warning if you're listening. This episode does deal a lot with the subject of weight and tries to portray an eating disorder. In my opinion, it does a really poor job, but either way, you may not, you know, we understand if you don't want to listen to this one, because both of the A and the B plot do have quite a focus on weight and particularly eating disorders. So that being said, this is the worst episode of Degrassi, in my opinion. I'm glad Morgan liked it. But we start our episode with Liberty giving announcements, and you find out that Toby's on the computer programming team, and this team scored third place in the regionals, whatever those are, whether it's Toronto or, you know, Degrassi, whatever. It doesn't matter, because you would think Toby could have done better than third place given his character, but he does not. And even so, he's looking around the room like, anyone? Look, third place.
Why are you upset if it's third place?
Then you're second loser, dude.
Yeah. I always thought he got first. Like, when I rewatched it, I realized it was third place, because I feel like all these years I thought he got first place.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess it kind of sucks. But I was like, wait, I mean, no one gives a shit. Like,
also, like, what does that mean? There were bugs in your code? Like, what exactly does that mean? It didn't compile? Like, what gets you third? That's the dorky tech person in me trying to figure out what the fuck that means.
So, like, I realized that all those shitty graphics that you ever see them put on Simpsons computer, Toby's the one who, like, is the mastermind behind it. Mm-hmm. So, you're not that good, Toby. Like,
no.
I'm surprised you got third.
We remember his turtle site, or whatever, his turtle searching site. Like, that was trash. It was basic, like.
And his matching algorithm was shitty too.
When
the matching algorithm.
Oh, he must have done that PowerPoint where they, like, I don't know, it was like happy birthday, Mr. Simpson, or thank you for everything.
Oh, that'd be cool.
The mouse moves up and down on the PowerPoint. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great work, Toby.
But Angela Anaconda, it doesn't look good on you.
Yeah, and it's weird that he's like so upset that no one's noticing, because you find out that the chess club plays second and it was broadcast on the internet. Yeah. And, you know, it's great because as much as I dislike Emma, she actually kind of cracks up and laughs at Toby.
She looked dumb while she did it, but yeah. She's like, I was like, shut up, Emma. Like, you're a stupid watch.
When even Emma's like, you're a fucking loser, what does that say?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get too many details about the programming competition, but maybe there are a lot of people who entered, so third place is like a good place to get. But the reality is, whenever this episode came out, no one was caring about computer science or anything that much. Nowadays, if that were to happen, people would be like, oh my god, Jack Dorsey.
Elon Musk over here.
Not to defend Toby, but if I was on a computer programming team and I got third place, I'd be proud of it.
Also, this is like, they're in grade 8. I'm sure like 95% of the school didn't even know they had a computer programming club. So they're like, Toby Isaacs got third place or whatever. And they're like, we have that club?
Yeah.
You're right.
Also, Natasha, you brought up a good point. Like, you were like, if I got third, I would be happy. Point blank, like, stop right there. Hard stop. That should be it, Toby. He's giving incel vibes because people aren't sucking his dick over this. Like, be fucking happy for yourself and be like, yeah, I'm proud of myself. Go home and live your life. Exactly. Okay. What's his name? JT. I will say JT was quite a supportive friend to this whole episode, I think. Like, JT was just like, yo, bro, like, you're a nerd, but congrats, whatever. Like, leave it there.
Yeah. He had some, like, lines, JT, that were, like, a little mean sometimes, but overall, I wrote in my notes, I was like, still a good friend. Like, I think he lost some weight with him.
You look a little waifish, yeah.
Like, he was throwing the medicine ball. Like, you have a friend who's willing to carry a medicine ball for you. I hate that. Like,
that shit is not good.
Honestly, maybe JT could have joined the wrestling team, and this could have been about him trying to be cool. And
that would have been a fair fight for Andrews.
Yeah, that would have been a fair fight for Andrews. I loved Andrews.
His little heart with his little brace.
And honestly, to prove, you know, Toby's point, Liberty happens to, for the plot, announce that there is a wrestling team, and there's tryouts going on, and last year's champion was Sean, who, like Natasha, was named the MVP, and everyone erupts in cheers, even Emma.
And Miss
Kwan. Yeah, Miss Kwan. That's
I know. I was like, I love that Miss Kwan is like, you know, a little starry-eyed around him too. She's like, oh, well, great job, Sean. And like, awesome. Emma's like, Emma, aren't you still mad at Sean? Like, whatever.
Oh, he's MVP.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the thing for titles. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a
grand. So what you're saying is proves Toby's point that being a jock. Oh,
well,
shoot.
Yeah, but Toby should know that. Like,
but he should know he's not that.
But
he should know also, he'll never be that.
Exactly. Like, I was going to say he should know his place.
That's how high school and middle school work, you know, like,
I don't even think it's so much about, like, jocks versus nerds as much as it is no one gives a fuck about Toby.
Yeah.
Like, if JT had gotten third in, like, the all-school comedy competition or whatever, you know, they would have been like, oh my god, that's awesome, JT.
Yeah, yeah, that's
awesome. And you deserve, like, put you on the shoulder. It's Toby, so no one gives a fuck.
Right.
And yeah.
He continues to sulk. We switch to Miss H's class, and they're talking about DNA, and he's still upset, and JT's kind of, you know, oh, I love a man who writes in binary code. Try to cheer him up, but maybe not well. But Toby just keeps complaining, and he thinks he's like the slightly invisible, or maybe JT says this, but he's labeled as the slightly invisible computer expert. And so Toby's kind of going through all these things in the hallway that he can do with JT and him are discussing it. Like, can he snowboard? Can he dye his hair green? Can he moon the cat? Haha, reference. And then maybe he could try out for wrestling. It's like, oh, that's a great idea. No one ignores jocks. Let's do that. Whatever. Okay.
Okay.
Can we talk about Miss Hatsalako's hair?
Oh my god, I have a note that I was like, what is her hair?
It looks like someone's hair, and I don't know who.
A mullet, but it's also like teased up.
Cindy Lauper?
So like to one side, it was just probably the worst hairstyling on that woman, and it made her look like 20 years older than she probably was.
You know, they were trying to prove that Miss Hot Sauce got the sauce, but whoever designed her haven't had the sauce for like 30 years.
Yeah.
Maybe this is where they decided she was going to have a teenage son in 4 years. They're like, ah, you know what? We gotta undo this.
Yeah, tame her a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was bad.
It was really bad.
And she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah. But well, I was like, isn't she supposed to be like on the younger? Or like, aren't all these teachers like say youngish 30s?
She's definitely younger than us.
Like 50 or something, because it was styled in the 80s.
Except Perino. Perino's old.
Yeah, but Perino is ageless.
for his age.
So maybe my high school experience is different from most and like television, but when they're all like, well, you know, to get noticed, you could like get like, what's it, Toby says, like, jocks always get noticed. In my school, it was never hierarchical like that. It wasn't like jocks at the top, cliques, like cliquish situations like you see on TV. Like, yeah, we had sports teams and some people, I mean, some of them were good, some of them weren't. But we also had people who were like, oh yeah, the school plays are awesome, or oh yeah, the band wins a lot of competitions. Like,
yeah.
It was everyone sort of mingled with everyone. It wasn't, there was only one person who was a loser, but that's just, he was fucking weird.
He was Toby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every school's got a Toby.
Yeah. I feel like with ours, like we had like, of course, like football was very big. Sports were very big, but like everyone, there was like, but so was like, we did like national, like we did like play competitions. We did like marching band competitions, everything. So everyone was kind of like well-known whenever we won for the school, but it was actually like the country ass, like football, like jock, cheerleader people who thought they were like cool and jocks. And they only held themselves that way. Everybody else really didn't give a fuck about them. They just thought they were special because they fucking wore Ed Hardy and what's the name of the paisley that everyone loves? Oh my God.
Vera Bradley?
Yes. Ed Hardy and Vera Bradley or whatever. So they were like all about themselves. But yeah, other than that, I mean, we all like, I would get like awards for acting. So people would be like, oh, way to go, Morgan. I really liked you. And we'd do shows. And so it was fine. Everyone was just, you know.
See, if you got third place, someone would congratulate you.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because you're not just Toby.
Like Toby, because he's a,
and I'd be like, thanks so much. Like, yeah. No, I should have gotten first. No, they'd be like, you did great. You should have gotten first. That's what they would have told me.
We moved to the way infinitely better plot where we find out that Terry has come into some amount of money and she's playing with one of those phones from like 1999 that flips open but is the size of a brick and it's got all these cool features. And ultimately we realize that Terry has become a model for a company called More Girl, which is a plus size modeling agency. And almost immediately we have some asshole who we never meet again named Mohammed who starts making fun of Terry's weight. And I don't know where he came from. We never see him again after this episode. But it started, you know, it sets the stage for Terry's plot is going to be a little bit about how she's self-conscious that she's a plus-size model, even though she's beautiful and queen.
Well, I know what happened to Muhammad. He went to Radio Free Roscoe.
He did. He did.
So that is where Ali Mahatam went.
That's why I was like, oh my God, I know that face. I know that face. Radio Free Roscoe. That fucking show.
Several of the Radio Free Roscoe people were on Degrassi at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Griffin? Was he on it?
Oh, yeah.
Blue Knockoff. Yeah.
And then the blonde chick who like was the soda like marketing girl who like I forgot that soda name, but one, it's an Emma episode.
Purple Dragon?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Purple Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
So all the Radio Free Roscoe alum appeared on Degrassi at some point. Shout out to Radio Roscoe. Well, I never watched it.
Saw like one or two of them.
Aren't all those companies run by, what's it, Epitome?
Yeah.
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 Oh. Famous instant star.
Yeah, because
that was my shit.
Our girl, what's her name again?
Alex Johnson?
No.
I love Alex Johnson. Great.
Why can't I think of Fiona's real name?
Annie Clark.
Annie Clark.
Drink.
Annie Clark.
Yeah,
because
in that one.
Because
in that one other podcast where she was doing an interview, she was like, yeah, I went in and did like a general interview. Audition for Epitome and getting Degrassi. So I think like and all of these things under that umbrella, you kind of audition for one person and they're like, well, we're going to plug you here, here, here. Maybe we're going to plug you as the incestuous lesbian twin.
Like a roster they like have a general for all their
players. This was founded by Linda Skyler and Steven Stone?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they made Riverdale.
It all makes sense.
Oh yeah. I feel like we figured that out, Stefan.
So we get a teaser of the infinitely better B plot and we're back to the gym and the wrestling tryouts and we're pretty much dropped in media res because there's like a slow motion scene where some dude is wrestling another dude and just slams him onto the mat. And you find out that Toby is actually in the same weight. Well, let's phrase that differently. There are weight classes. We learned that there are weight classes in wrestling, which is something that I guess I knew about but didn't really know. So thank you, Degrassi, for teaching me. And we find out that this guy named Andrews is a kind of tiny kid and he's 51 kilos, also known as 112 pounds. And then Toby gets on the scale and he is not. He is 122 pounds, which puts him in the same way. class. Well, yeah. 55 kilos, exactly.
I looked it up.
Change puts him in the same class as Sean. And Sean kicks his ass. It's amazing.
And I just love Andrews because he's ready to kick some ass. He's like, Shatobi and I start.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
He's so cute. Like his story, like he probably was also trying to be like a jock and, you know, get his place at the school,
and you know he truly trained, like he was like trained. Grandma help me, you know, he like yeah. really did thing, because I feel like he's just so frail that he would need like a frail grandma to be like, okay, push-ups or something, I don't know.
All right, no, it's one of these things is not like the other. There's the Bardell kid in that weight class, there's Andrews, and there's Toby.
Yeah,
who is not trained in nothing.
Bull in a china shop.
Also, they go up against Bardell a lot this season.
They really do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Can we stop having these Bardell kids over? Because it doesn't end well.
What happened to Earl Grey? Like, where do they go? They yeah. changed. They zoning. Rezoning, I guess.
Earl Grey was only a middle school. And when Degrassi became a middle / high school, I guess they started only going against high schools.
That they merge into.
What'd you say?
Lakers. Like, they never play against Lakers.
That's right. Or the one that they make fun of in the next class, the zoo or whatever.
Oh, God. When Frankie's racist?
Yeah, that one.
I forget the name of that one.
Frankie.
Classic Frankie. But yeah, I mean, it's a good point because they're in Toby's in eighth grade right now, right? In typical high school sport, I don't know how it works in Canada, but in typical high school sports, he would never be on this team anyway. Like you'd be separated, right? Or is this like just an eighth grade?
Well, Sean is in eighth grade too. Yeah. And Andrew's a little baby, you know, he's not. He's probably in seventh grade.
He was so yeah. kind.
He probably skipped a year, bless his little heart.
The high school that is filled with minorities that racist Frankie Hollingsworth said racist shit about is called Northern Tech.
Oh, okay.
Why don't they play Northern Tech?
Yeah.
College name, yeah.
Because I guess back in Degrassi in the early 2000s, they didn't want to have that many minorities on.
Yeah, that's not, yeah. They can't be having Northern Tech in there.
No, none of that.
Yeah, no, because if they had more minorities, then they would have had other people for Jimmy and Hazel to date besides each other.
Yeah, and, you know, they're Kendra, so they're doing a lot.
Yeah, look, we've hit our quota, dude. We can't have anybody else. Like, we're done.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, look at us. We put Nadia in this episode. We're good. Right?
All of our white people have vaguely ethnic last names from other places besides just England. So, we're good.
Oh, like James Franco.
Oh.
So, yeah, so Toby realizes he's fucked because he's not going to beat Sean for the position on the team. And so, they're, you know, we switch to a variety of different places. Like, they're in media immersion, and I guess JT shows Toby a wrestling site that looks like shit, that doesn't inspire him at all. Maybe Toby programmed it. And then Archie's like, I'm proud of you. Turns out I'm the coach on the programming team. And so he kind of drops hints on something called making weight. And he's like, we on the computing team, we don't make weight. We make programs. And
I did like that moment.
Nerdy ass.
It's cute.
It was a very, very teacher.
And Toby's just like, ugh. I need to be a jock. And then he starts trying to get to make weight and whatever. He tries to get back into Andrews's class. And so they have this really awful Toby training montage. I had to pause for like 5 minutes here.
They're playing like Eye of the Tiger or some shit, but it's like a knockoff version. And he's like running in a trash bag and like
royalty free.
Team yeah. of the Jaguar. It's the thrill of the
Panthers.
It's like sung by Ashley, basically. It's knockoff. Yeah. Fucking.
Like goth Ashley, though.
Maya Matlin. Yeah. It's
Eye of the Tiger. Minor chord.
Fight.
So JT's doing his best, like you guys pointed out, that JT's trying to be a good friend here. He's eating donuts, but he's watching Toby and encouraging this, but it doesn't work. He only lost 1 pound, which is not only, I mean, that's a pretty big deal, but it's
not enough.
That water weight, he's dehydrated as fuck. Yeah,
his kidneys are no longer functioning, but it's not enough to get, you know, to get in Andrews's weight class. And so all of a sudden, I guess the writers are like, how are we going to get this eating disorder plotline along? We're in the pharmacy or in a gas station or something. And there's bodega. There we go. In Toronto, bodega. Candy bars. And then there's chocolate laxatives right next to them. And, you know, JT says something like, so tasty going in, so nasty going out. And Toby's like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. That's it. Duh. Laxatives. And so we cut to him at home. And there's
I have a thing about that. Because one thing I was wondering, every time I saw it before, I always thought that he was I don't know, maybe I was a dumb kid, but like it came across of like JT putting the idea in his mind. But then this last time I watched it, maybe because I had had a little bit more wine, it seemed like he was already going for that. And then he like was like, oh no, I would never do that. Like, I'm just here for the Gatorade candy bar, whatever the fuck. Like that's right. Right. Is that
my impression? Like, I did think JT was kind of pushing towards I think JT really is so stupid that he did it by mistake.
Well, because then he says that stupid, like, oh, I'd never do that, or like, I wouldn't be dumb enough for that, or like something like, oh, I didn't mean to do this. And I was like, you're just a dumbass. Like, at least JT did it on accident, but you're actually going to do this.
Yeah, no, he definitely was like, that was his intention, and that he was just hovering around there, that when JT came, he's like, I'm going to take the Gatorade one. But awesome. I think, if anything, JT's story that was supposed to deter him from buying it, because it makes your brains out, he was like, it makes me shit my brains out. Awesome.
He's also
what Canadian fucking corner store has the laxative by the protein bar?
That was my point. I was trying to say, like, I you guys are so cynical and so analytic, because I just thought this was totally bad writing, and that Toby got the idea because this corner store / bodega put them next to each other, and he's like, oh yeah, that's the one. I did not, you know, and maybe it's because I hate Toby so much.
I mean, it's very interesting to think about that. I mean, I hate Toby so much that I was like, this fucker would do this. So I mean, either way, like, I was like, I know what you're on to. But either ways, it's an interesting thing. We should ask our listeners what they think.
Yes.
Listeners.
It'll be us in like a week.
Yeah. Toby decides to take laxatives in his room that is, you know, retconned into having wrestling posters on the wall, as it's his idea all along. And it works, because when they go to wrestling tryouts again, he's now in Andrew's weight class. And Armstrong's like, this bullshit.
He sensed it.
Yeah. He's like, you've lost like a lot of weight. And he's like, just training a lot.
But like,
really?
Laxative, like, was that enough to like get him?
I think he had to take more than that, but I was surprised every time it surprises me, because every time he comes back, I'm expecting him to wrestle and then shit himself.
Yeah, me too.
And then it doesn't happen. But every time I expect it to, I'm like, uh-oh, he took that last one too early. Like, he took it too late in the morning. Like,
oh my God. I really want someone to like edit the point where he passes out, to all of a sudden you just get like a
okay, combine it
Kendra and Nadia, like,
yeah, with the Jenna, just have a little remix.
Remix.
When are these kids gonna learn? You gotta think about what affects your body. You can't just do whatever.
Shitting yourselves. Toby, Jenna, what's his name? Eli, just shitting yourselves.
Yeah.
Doug.
I just felt really bad for Andrews, because that was his spot, and I just felt mad at Toby.
He should have made it. Yeah.
I was like, it's just not your time ever. Yeah, and he took it from Andrews.
Okay. Also, so like, the thing is, Toby hasn't had any wrestling training whatsoever. I don't think he's anywhere close to being that good. Armstrong, you shouldn't look the other way, but like, he's not good enough for Armstrong to look the other way at the fact, obviously.
And what kind of tryouts have like the victor getting the, like, of one match being on the team? I thought the exact same thing you said. Like,
yeah, there's more to it than that. Like, you should have agility practice. Like, there should be more like weight training. There should be a lot more to trying out than just, oh, I won one match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and obviously, like you say, Stefan, homeboy's making weight. You already know that. He's dropped like, what, 3 kilos in a week? Come on.
Yeah.
That's like 28 pounds or whatever. I don't know.
After Toby does zero talent and just literally falls on top of Andrew, he makes the team. And even Sean claps. Like, everyone's happy that he's on the team. And so we cut to like him being at home and celebrating with Ashley, and he's already a smug asshole. He's like, it's a new chapter in the book of Isaacs. You know, nerd Toby is no more. It is still there.
I couldn't tell who I hated more in this scene, because he was annoying too, and then he was being annoying back, and it was just like flashbacks to season one where they kept trying to make both of them the main character for a while, because I was just like, oh,
also, were Kate and Jeff like fucking at the Best Western again? Because
they were
not.
Yeah,
they were in here. They left some cupcakes.
They were in couples therapy, is where they were at.
Chocolate muffin. I feel like
you are right.
I feel like Ashley doesn't really bother me at all in this episode. She's being Ashley, but I actually liked her being Ashley towards Toby, because
she's,
I was just like,
being Ashley.
Yeah, Miley.
No, I wrote down, like you said, Morgan, she kind of is worried right here. Like, she offers him food and he's like, no, I don't want it. And she realizes something's going on and calls her like a vampire.
Yeah, like her little like being nosy and butting into places where she shouldn't be was actually helpful, because Toby's being stupid. So
also, this whole like Toby making fun of Ashley for her goth thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it like whatever vampire like
go drink your blood, and it's like Toby.
Oh, that's brilliant. You guys are saying because he's now a jock making fun of goth.
Oh no, no, I wasn't even thinking that far. I was just thinking that Toby, you suck.
Oh, okay. I'll take both.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, now he's a jock who makes fun of goths, even though he's not really a jock because he's only even had one fucking tryout.
Yeah.
Next day at school, he gets the windbreaker. He starts fronting in front of what's Nadia and Kendra, and he offers, like, you can grab my arm, Kendra, and they're both like, what is this? Still Toby in a windbreaker.
Exactly.
And a fucking lands in windbreaker. Like, sir.
This is also, I think, probably the last time we see Nadia is this scene.
Yeah.
The last time we see Nadia is the very end of the episode during the fight.
Oh, okay. And then that's
I was like, is Nadia wearing the same shirt as she wore in the science fair?
I think it was. It was like that white blouse.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? Or like orange or something? Yeah, I don't know.
Was Nadia supposed to have a plot? Like, is this just one of those aborted arcs that just never really
I think
she was, because she had a commercial. Like,
Yeah.
Noted this season, they had like a whole commercial about Nadia, a whole like behind the scenes with the actress. I just remember that from Noggin or BN.
I was going to say though, like, first of all, I thought it was great that like Toby got his windbreaker and still like Kendra didn't care. So it's kind of both what we were talking about, but, like that not... doesn't matter.
Yeah, she didn't give a shit. Toby.
And I thought like her and Nadia were kind of like funny and cute. And I was like, I like that they're like, you know, just normal little girls and just okay with that. And they could have done more with them as like a little twosome.
They could have.
Yeah. Better. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I like that Kendra's sassy sometimes to Toby, like whatever.
Like, I think I'll pass.
Yeah.
Like, Nadia and Kendra were the only grade sevens they ever brought up. And then I think once they moved on to high school and got rid of the idea of grade eights and grade nines, they were like, okay, well, we've got rid of them, so we're just going to send them off to Earl Grey or wherever.
Yeah.
Earl Grey is a synonym for hell, obviously.
Not Northern Tech.
Yeah.
I mean,
they could have gone there too, you know? Yeah. Maybe you want to
start. Yeah, but unfortunately, Frankie drew some pictures of them that wasn't quite appreciated, apparently.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'll pay for your
copy. I'm so sorry. It just is what it is. I'm sorry you're hurting about this. Sorry that was offensive for you.
I didn't mean it like that. Here's some lattes on me. I'm glad you got to listen to my side. I feel like we really did some healing.
Okay, bye.
Damn.
Everyone doesn't understand how I'm feeling right now.
So Toby is becoming more of an asshole, and he starts channeling, like, I guess Emma when she had her period. He like screaming with JT. He's like, you're just jealous. I'm on a team and you're a mascot.
Like, hangry Toby is literally PMS Emma.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same like character completely. Like,
and the same three expressions.
Yeah.
But see, okay, I have to say, like, JT really did a great job, because you only have to tell me once you don't want me around. Like, I would have acted like, I don't know your damn name. Like, after you act that way with me, you literally just got a freaking windbreaker, and now you're over here like, you're just jealous because I'm on the team and you're not. Like, bitch, you have literally done one little wrestle with poor Andrews. Like, Andrews weighs 20 pounds. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Don't call me ever again. Go to hell, because I say that as much as they do. But, like, also, like, okay, no, I'm not going to say that. But I normally say in these kind of things, eat my ass, Toby, but don't.
No,
not literally, but like, it's
fucking Toby.
Whatever.
Yeah,
go
but
to hell.
The thing is, if he would have eaten it, he would have taken some X-Lax and just shat it out anyway.
Oh, are we back to the human centipede?
Thank you for this.
Oh,
thank
no.
You.
Oh, we're back to.
Let's roll past this.
Okay.
That should be like, instead of the player of the week, we're like, who should be in the human centipede this week?
Yeah. Who's the front? Who's the back? Who's the middle?
Toby is in all three positions. But yeah, so what really bothers me about this episode is that we get so little of the Terry plotline. I think it's probably like 5%, because in between all of this is like a couple of snippets, like of Terry getting cold feet about her modeling because she realizes now her campaign is national and Muhammad got inside her head, and then we get like a snippet and we're back to fucking more Toby. So we're in the cafeteria, and now everyone, kind of his friends like Ashley and JT, realize he's not eating, and Ashley's kind of standing behind being Ashley, like, big meat today. Doing anything special? Maybe not doing something, like not eating. And now she's gonna take it up with Mom and Jeff, who, as I think Natasha pointed out, is still in the Best Western. And all this time, there's like this poor girl standing between Ashley and Toby that are just, it's like, can you guys fuck out of line? I just want to order my... Toby hands it up. He decides to start binging with cheeseburgers and extra Sheila sauce. There's no cheese on that burger. There's really nothing on that burger but this gray, disgusting sauce that we talked about before.
Sheila sauce.
Sheila sauce.
It's like sausage and gravy, but like not that.
And this girl has to wait even longer because Toby scarfs down the entire cheeseburger. And
homegirl's face. Homegirl's face the whole time. She's like, she's her and then the other guys like acting.
She's like out acting everyone in that scene because I was like, I feel her struggle right now. Like, I don't know why these siblings are having a 20-minute conversation and not just leaving the line and coming back. And she just wanted to get her Sheila sauce, I guess.
She's hungry.
You know, I feel like there's a cut moment where she basically gives up and goes to the vending machines and gets like Lay's and Fruitopia.
Yeah. Fruitopia was the shit.
Or worse, she takes a spinner playbook page and it brings back some earwigs. I was like,
oh.
Him and Ashley's hair.
Yeah. Well, the best moment of this scene is when it cuts to Armstrong standing in the background and he has that knowing look of, oh, okay. But you know what? This watch, I used to think it was because he knew he was like purging and whatever. But I think this is because like he's about to have a meat and is eating a fucking cheeseburger.
You think so?
Yeah. I took it up as like, you're not like, that's really heavy for a meat. Like, this is not something you really need to carb up for in the sense of like having something heavy like that. You want to be light on your feet. Like, that makes you tired and want to go to sleep, like all of that heavy bread and stuff. So I felt like he was probably like, this guy doesn't understand, like, get a lean chicken patty and a salad. You're going to eat after you win.
Yeah.
I took it as him like putting together the pieces of like, kid lowered his weight class and now he's having like this heated conversation with his stepsister or whatever. And like him kind of like being like, what's going on with this kid? But maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
I can see both sides, honestly.
I can see both sides. I think I realized that Armstrong is really gullible this episode.
So I just Googled what you should eat before a wrestling match or preparing your child for a wrestling tournament. Wrestlers should make sure that they are fully hydrated after weigh-ins with water or a sports drink. They should also include carbohydrate-rich snacks such as bagels, graham crackers, pretzels, granola bars, bananas, yogurt, or pudding cups at least an hour prior to their match.
Right.
So I guess, you want to carb up before that.
That makes sense, but having a whole bunch of like Sheila sauce?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense to me because that's
heavy. With all the laxatives, like, and all that greasy food, I am very surprised he did not shit himself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you want to replenish your glycogen levels, but like, don't want to do it. Like, that's not the right proper. You want complex carbs, right?
Yeah.
You want simple carbs. No, you want complex because simple are like what he ate.
To be fair, Toby
is simple.
Well, he's Toby, but he's
a carburetor or whatever.
He prepared for 5 minutes to be a wrestler.
Yeah. But I'm sure, Mr. Armstrong tells them, all right, beforehand, like, make sure you're drinking some water, get some Gatorade. Mm-hmm. Smart water wasn't a thing, but make sure your water is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat that junk.
This episode sponsored by Gatorade and Gatorade protein bars, because I've never seen a Gatorade protein bar.
Sponsored by Colace.
Yeah.
I used to have their gummies, their pre-workout gummies back in the day.
Colace?
They have Gatorade? Workout. Gatorade had pre-workout gummies. Back when I was an athlete spin star.
The MVP of Color Guard.
My days, yeah. When I was the MVP of spin class, that was a little bit sooner. Those days of yore.
Nice work.
So after the cheeseburger, we cut to the bathroom and we hear Toby vomiting.
So gross.
Just and, like we all vomited when we saw Toby's face.
And JT realizes, but Toby is like, can you just get out of here? So JT actually leaves the bathroom and meets Ashley, and he thinks Ashley is hitting her. Wait, does he think Ashley is hitting on him, or does she
hit Ashley? Like, he just starts hitting on her.
He's hitting on her.
Yeah,
he's JT. You should just never assume that anyone's ever hitting on
her. Yeah.
It's like you finally have realized we have so much to,
know. Like a love vibe or something. Yeah.
The standards are extremely low. Sorry, I didn't. But I remember writing down that, like, Ashley's actually worried about someone besides herself right now, which is really,
wholesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is also, like, the last time they have interaction with each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Toby and Ashley, after this, you don't even acknowledge they're in the same household.
Yeah, like, they spent so much time trying to establish them as, like, this, like, step-sibling thing in season one, and then this episode is really, like, the last time we ever see them interact again.
It's basically, like, Degrassi High,
yeah.
Or Degrassi Junior High, where you have Stephanie K and Arthur.
Oh, and that dude.
Yeah, and we acknowledge it in one episode, we acknowledge it in two more episodes, but then we don't anymore, and eventually Stephanie K just goes off to private school.
Oh yeah, Nina and I only got three episodes in, we just thought that was going to be a thing.
It just like Toby and Ashley. You thought it was going to be a thing, and then it's just not.
Well, anyway.
I was going to say, I just feel like it's apparent that Ashley has obviously hit rock bottom, because she's over here, like literally caring about Toby, and I think it's, I'm giving her too much credit and thinking she actually cares. It's not that, it's just that one more thing she has control over. Their parents, Jeff and Kate, probably were like, Ashley, as while we're gone, like, you know, resolving our marriage or whatever, I know that you're a little bit, like, you're older, I need you to just keep me, like, make sure everything goes well. So she's probably thinking of, like, as the interim manager of our household, you are not eating correctly. Like, she's probably just being Ashley, but it's surprising to think that she really does seem to care this much. But she's also probably like, if you die, I'm going to get in trouble.
That is how I saw it. She's like, better not have
you said it,
when Jeff and Kate come back. I don't want this on me.
And I also feel like this is a moment where, like, if Ashley saves him, she can be like, well, you know, my brother had an eating disorder, and I came through for him. I came through.
I'm going to write a song.
Yeah. I know a lot more than you do about it.
This was a dark time for me.
You took my diet, you tore it in half.
You didn't eat your muffin. You wouldn't even laugh. I don't know. I can't. I'm the horrible songwriter.
Oh, there's a guy wearing a muffin costume in the audience who just gets up and walks away.
Oh, God. Oh, fucking Ashley. So I turned on Pluto today, and I just happened to end up on the, poor thing? Not a poor thing. What's the one that she does, Mr. Nice Guy?
Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah. That's always... I was like, you know, that's the only time, like, Ashley's written something that I haven't, like, cringed. I was like, you know what? Yeah, maybe you should just stick to, like, Alanis Morissette breakup songs. Yeah.
I preferred her song to Dust and thought the girls won.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a fan of Craig's song, but...
Yeah, that shit came from the heart.
I was fond of his cover of Taking Back Sunday.
I mean, I was fond of his cocaine addiction.
Yeah, same. It's my favorite episode.
We actually never heard that cover, but he's like, I do a really good cover, Make Damn Sure, very stripped down. I'm like, shut up. Make Damn Sure perfect as is.
Very stripped down.
Like, how fucking egotistical do you have to be to, like, tell the band you do a stripped down version of their song? Like to make it better, or maybe so, like, people can understand it more. I was just like, this is why Craig deserved everything he got on stage.
Because he's a true musician.
Yeah.
He understands more than they do.
Brittany, I do a reduction of Oops, I Did It Again. Okay, so we go to media immersion, and again, they're doing nothing. No one knows what this class is about, but Toby's starting to pass out, and Archie pulls a pop quiz on them, and it's called The History of the Internet, which I guess that's what you do in media immersion. But
at that point, it was only 10 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long is the history at that point?
That must have been an easy test. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
That's why I only gave them, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
And then, I guess school is out. Like, I don't know, the editing and pacing on this episode is really strange, and it's all about Toby, so it's worse. But Degrassi is finally taking on Bardell. And you see Terry trying to, like, I guess, cancel her ad contract, and Spinner talk.
Because on the phone, she's like,
oh, that's Toby's mom?
This is Terry. And I was like,
oh, I love that even better.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So Paige doesn't know this, though.
No, yeah, like, because when she's in that, like, little, like, bus booth or whatever where the ad is, she's like, Anne-Marie, this is Terry. Like, I need to cancel the thing. And I was like, they brought, like, they actually were consistent on something.
I love that. Oh, my gosh.
My favorite part is that Anne-Marie is probably trying to convince Terry to stay, and she has no idea her son's, like, got an eating disorder.
Meanwhile, your son is like, that's perfect, though, because it just shows that Anne Marie truly does not care, like we said.
That's probably where the marriage ended.
She's making money.
You got clients.
Jeff wanted that baby, not me. Not, like.
He poked a hole in the condom, and
he needed
just like Jeff, he tried to trap me in a relationship, just trap Kate Kerwin.
I know.
He wanted an Isaacs to carry on that lame ass name, I'm guessing, you know?
Yeah.
And he got Toby.
So, actually, in a really heartwarming moment, Spinner kind of comes out and talks Terry out of quitting, and he says tons of guys like her, and anyone that shows he's not pretty is just jealous or blind, and it's really sweet.
It's sweet.
Spinner fucking likes you.
adorable. It's adorable.
I think he is still crushing on her at this point, which is why in the beginning Paige had like was a little jealous and was like making up these rumors. Like I felt like she had some jealousy in there.
Yeah, she was feeling some type of way. Yeah.
I felt that was a nice scene because it was like probably the most insightful Spinner ever has been and like handled a delicate situation, boy of his age. Mm-hmm. And then I also thought it was interesting because I was like, again, it's that what if with Harry where we're like, why did we never see her actually date Spinner or someone else?
No.
She just got one boyfriend and then left the show. And they may have been cute together, actually. Like, they were setting this up season one.
I feel like, he's, like, really supportive of her. And, like, when he walks in, like, oh, my gosh, like, look at your billboard or whatever. Like, your bus stop or whatever. And, like, he's just really so obvious how much he likes her. I'm like, why couldn't we let her have that?
Yeah.
Like,
so, in my mind, I created an alternate universe where Terry somehow really, like, especially at the end of this episode where she tells off homeboy, she really like takes full control of her bad bitchness, and the writers play to Christina Schmidt's strengths. And in this episode, Spinner does start dating Paige, but then Terry fucking steals her.
Ooh, that would have been
just drama.
Yeah, that would have been like a nice season three.
It wouldn't have been that hard either because he was so about her. Like,
I'm just not gonna say like maybe the reason they never did get together is because she's a bit shy, and I think he's so dumb. Like, I think he needs like a girl to like be so overt, which is why Paige landed him, because she's like, I like you, you're gonna date me. And I think if she like was like that, he'd be like, I want to date you too, Terry, but they're just kids and they don't know how to deal with this. I probably wouldn't tell someone I like them.
I definitely feel like she wanted to, but like when I was that age, I definitely was like, I'm like, no, I don't like you unless you like me. Oh, you do? Oh, well, I guess I don't know.
Yes, no, maybe.
I'm in love with you, but no, I'm not gonna let you know.
The two main girls in her life discourage her from doing it. Like Ashley, down, and then Paige is trying to take the boy that she likes.
Yeah,
so, like she doesn't really have like a circle where she could say I like this boy and have friends who kind of like, you know, give her sound advice on how to go about it. They just kind of like knock her down.
Even when Paige was like, when she was showing that one ad, and she's like, oh, I would really love to wear that. If I was a plus.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that line.
Yeah, obviously you're salty. Like, literally, why was that necessary? Just be like, oh, yeah, I love that. That's something I would like to wear.
Terry doesn't have genuine friends.
No.
She doesn't.
And she doesn't have anyone she can be open and honest with her feelings about, because she is literally always supporting everyone else.
Well, she has Spinner. Spinner supports her.
And Spinner would have supported the fuck out of her. Spinner and Terry should get married. If they in this new Degrassi, putting it out there, if anyone's listening at HBO, we're going to need...
Us. We work there.
Spinner and...
Allegedly.
Well, we allegedly work there, if anyone asks, in the San Francisco Greater Bay Area. So, dear writers who are not us, we're going to need Spinner and Emma to get a divorce, and we're going to need Terry to come back and to basically own that shit.
It's always been you, Terry. Well, like, it's always been you.
In the alternate universe, if Terry and Spinner got together, Spinner probably wouldn't have been that much of a douchebag. Like, I feel like she's such a nice presence, and he'd be like, I love her, and Jimmy would still be walking.
Like, yeah, so basically it's like the plot of I'm Upset.
Basically.
Because I think if Spinner had gone for Terry instead of Paige, Terry would have like kind of first like made him maybe dress a little better.
Respectable
boy. And like, but he wouldn't have to be like this constant like peacocking and like all of that, because Paige is the popular girl and all the popular kids and whatever. It's like he'd actually just be his like goofy, dumb self.
With the candy bandits.
They probably would have started studying together and stuff.
Yeah.
His grades would have improved.
And I feel like he was always trying to impress Paige, because Paige never, like when they were together, he never felt good enough. And I feel like Terry would have always reassured him to be like, you're good enough, babe.
Yeah.
I like you just the way you are, and I love you being goofy and cute, and like, you can do this. Like, you can do hard things. Like, shoot, would have been her.
You don't have to steal Jimmy's MP3 player.
Yeah, let's study for Miss Kwan's class together. Like,
and then he, like, none of this would have ever happened. Like you said, like, Jimmy would still be walking. Like, Rick wouldn't have done this. Him and, like, he wouldn't have done the stupid thing he did, so Rick would have shot Jimmy. Like, damn.
Like, Toby's in the locker room dying, but not dying enough, because we still have to watch him. And JT comes to, like, confront him or maybe like help him, and says he looks horrible. You know, says that Ash and I are worried, but that just makes Toby angry. I don't really care. He's like, there's a gym full of people waiting for me. They don't give a shit about you.
They don't give a shit about wrestling. This is not going to exist in like another week. Like,
yeah,
sports last like a match, and
there's like 10 people in that audience.
He's acting like he's Lady Gaga, like about to go on stage. Like, everyone out there is waiting for me. They're here for me. Like, no one's here for you, honey.
Yeah, like I just thought. I guess he's having delusions or like whatever. He's losing it because he hasn't had food in 6 hours. But I was just like, you really think people care that much?
Seriously,
this match, like if you guys just form the team, it's like probably not even that important a match, right?
No, it's like a scrimmage or something. Yeah. Right,
and he said he's like, there's a whole room of people out here waiting for me. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're waiting for Sean the MVP.
exactly
everyone's here because Sean is the one that's like
Sean repeating ass. Yeah, being number one, they don't care about you, Toby.
No, exactly.
Also Toby, you look stupid with your glasses off. Like, he's like, he's just like, there's people out there waiting for me, and they do that to try and make him look more jock or something. I don't know what they're trying to do, but like,
that's right, we didn't talk about that at all. He doesn't wear his glasses because he's so cool.
Yeah, he like decides that he doesn't need to see. He's a jock now.
That's what I was wondering, like, can he see anything?
The wrestling match happens, and for like 3 seconds Toby looks like he's actually doing well and he might beat this kid from Bardell. But to be fair, the kid from Bardell looks like a wrestler, and like but he doesn't do well, and like we all confuse this scene because we think he's gonna shit himself, but he I know out, and it is hilarious.
That would have been a better ending to this.
This would have been my favorite episode, because I love that Jenna episode where she so I'm just like, this would have like skyrocketed to the top of the list of
how to
introduce people to Degrassi.
Unlike Jenna, who skyrocketed right down to the bottom. Or I guess it was more a trip down to the bottom.
Bless her.
Number two on the team.
I did fun hosting that one because I love that episode. I'll be 53 or something by that time, but I'm ready to host.
Yeah, that's a good one. It'll just keep getting funnier by then.
Toby passes out, and the entire audience is composed of like Kendra and Nadia. So I guess maybe they were all waiting for him.
But my favorite part is Nadia's face, because even though I guess she's trying to play concern, secretly the subtext is, I kind of hope he's dead.
I hope she's like, this is for the yearbook.
Kendra's like, I just broke up with him.
I don't know this guy.
Yeah, Kendra didn't walk up. Like, they see his true lover.
His true lover and Mr. Armstrong.
And Ashley. His nurse. Yeah.
Yeah, ooh, so she penalized for this. She went up.
So we jump to the better plot line, and Mohammed is serving ice cream, and he's still not laying off Terry. He's like, I think you should join our sumo team, which is really fucked up. I mean, that's like, I don't know what she did to him.
Yeah. And I'm creative.
He likes her, probably. You know, dumbass.
He's such a, that is such a prepubescent or a pubescent boy thing. Yeah. I like you, but I don't know how to tell you, so I'm going to make fun of you.
So if any of you guys want to say what Terry Queen says to Muhammad, by all means take it away, because
she like starts to walk away, and then she comes back and she's like, most girls look like this, so get used to it. Also, I made $500 today being a plus size model. Yeah, that's right, plus size. How much money do you make, ice cream boy, or something? And then she like, thanks, and then she stomps away. But what made me mad is when she says like her little thing about most girls look like me, get used to it. What does Paige say? Like, oh really? Or she says something
she's like right on.
It was like something like, oh wow, or I don't know, maybe she was, but she was like supportive, but I was
yeah, just supportive. Right on, and I was like, okay,
because she said no kidding,
there you go.
Something like that. Like,
I swear though that this entire plot line is about 1 to 2 minutes of the episode, because that's it. Like,
yeah,
honestly, I would have rather seen the whole episode be about Terry's shit.
It's kind of like, it reminds me of that episode last season where like Emma gets her period, but that's a B plot, because the A plot was like Ashley wanting to like Ashley I already forgot. Because, like, I remember we pointed out, we're like, wait, the period is the B plot, but that's all we remember of the episode kind of thing. And I feel like the same way with this, where I'm like, I remember Terry having, like, this amazing moment, like, generally think of this episode at all.
I also feel like the B plot was super, super short compared to other ones. I feel like they barely touched this B plot, when I feel like the stupid Pringles B plot was, like, never end. Like, all the other ones I feel like were way more than this one, and I thought that was bullshit. Like, this, we should have given more to this.
Yeah, I thought there was gonna be more, because at the beginning of that plot, when, like, Paige just out of nowhere was like, oh, I think she's, like, pickpocketing, or she's, like, shoplifting. So I thought there was gonna be, like, some, like, gray area where she's like, did you steal that?
But yeah,
like, that was, like, a 1 minute nothing. Nope.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Toby. And the thing is, like, I don't even think this really accomplished much in the way of, like, eating disorder awareness, because it's just so chaotic and so all over the place that, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just poorly done, I think.
It's one, like, it's a workout montage and one purge. Like, it's just so inconsistent, and then, like, oh, like, this is supposed to be the eating disorder episode. And it made
sense. Like, the writers had, like, a storyboard or something on the wall, and it was like, boy gets eating disorder, and that's it. Like, they just wrote with it. Like,
in Toby's contract, he has at least one more A plot this season. Yeah.
good old Jake Goldsby. Well, we're on the home stretch. The plot
We're not done yet.
No. We finally are at the end of the episode. Ash called his dad. Armstrong kicked him off the team. Even Sean was worried. Everyone's worried. And we end with, still think you're invisible, Tobes. There was no lesson here.
Basically, the moral of the story is, if you have an eating disorder and pass out, people will finally give a fuck about you.
Yeah. All that shit for now. And I feel like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, JT comes into the kitchen and is, oh man, like, it's so funny. JT's like, you can cry, I'm not gonna hug you. Like, but he's still there as a friend. Like, so you got dumped off the team, like, your shit sucks, but at least you're back to being your nerdy self again. He never said sorry for being an asshole. So, like, no way in hell I'd be over there checking on your ass, because you were a dick to me. And I've been the mascot longer than you've worn your Land's End jacket. Secondly, like, I think JT was lying about, like, Kendra was like, oh, really worried. Everyone cares about you, Toby. Nobody cares about you.
Kendra don't give a fuck.
She didn't care.
She's too busy watching Asahara or whatever.
Kendra was too busy looking at him and was like, oh my god, did he shit himself?
She's like, flip him over. I want to get this for the yearbook.
We survived, and we still have to decide who the Claire is.
To be freaking kidding me.
Did you flick a switch and erase me from your memory?
Well, excuse me for having loftier ambitions than just some pedestrian high school assignment.
What are you doing here?
And I think it's the writers, so that's my vote.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, the writers. I was gonna go with the A plot, the whole A plot.
Yeah, that's fine. It took up all the energy. It was 95% of the storyline. I'm with you. Fine.
Honestly. That's a good, because like Claire, it takes up most of the airtime away from all of the other worthy characters and plots we could be focusing on. Because, like, yes, the B plot was shortened more than most B plots are.
Yeah.
For this bullshit that had no resolution. Like, it just wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
I think Toby is the Claire of this episode because, one, he has that stupid line, there's a whole room of people waiting out here for me. One's waiting for you.
That's a lie.
And also, I'm so mad at him on behalf of Andrews, and I hope Andrews made it on the team once Toby got the boot, because he earned that spot.
I think Andrews did. I think Andrews was the true jock after that.
Yeah.
He probably got a full ride to Banting.
And, like, a growth spurt. And he was probably like, braces got off. So my Claire is actually Emma, because she's the reason all of this shit happened. She didn't clap hard enough for this fucker. Like, he's still, and I don't know why. And I blame her. And I was also still really pissed at her stupid laugh and her stupid watch. There's no way in hell she could hear what JT was saying. They were whispering. She's just being stupid because she's dumb. It's her for me.
Toby, one, Emma.
And three, the A plot.
I say A plot. I hate it. Three A plot.
That A plot, well, Emma and Toby are in the A plot, so.
Yeah, didn't you say writers, Joe? They wrote the A plot, so you could check them. I mean, I think they trump us all.
So one writer, two A plots.
I think it's A plot.
One Toby, one Emma.
This whole episode minus Terry's, like, bad bitchness.
So the A plot.
And Spinner. Spinner, I think.
And Spinner. Spinner's sweet.
Yeah, Spinner was good.
Sounds like you're coming to our side, Natasha. And the winner is A plot. So thank you for listening to us. As you know, we recap every episode of Degrassi the Next Generation, but we'd like to just take a moment to discuss our socials.
All right, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at LastShiftPod. You can find us on the internet at lastshiftatthedot.com or lsatd.com. You can find us at Gmail at lashesatthedot@gmail.com, or you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all the lovely places. If you'd like to give us a donation or send us like a cup of coffee for those late nights where we're putting a lot of posts, or those late nights when we're editing, you can do that as well through anchor.com.
It's at the bottom of our episodes.
Read and donate. Give us
some money.
You can find us in upstate New York, or you can find us in Hackensack, New Jersey, or San Diego, California.
Or Paris. Yeah. We spent a lot of time there.
If you want to send us wings.
Yes, please. We will not call the police if you show up with wings to our real addresses, but everything else we will. You out there in Degrassi land, aka Toronto, we know you can make it through. And how do we know that? Because you made it through this episode.
We did.
Bye.
Aww.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, y'all.